Let's bow our heads and begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds and to guide us, to direct us in our relationships with you and with one another. In your name, amen. There is what God intended, then there's what you and I do with what God intended, and then finally there is what God does with what we do with what God intended. Sound confusing? Well, it's much simpler than you might think, especially when you apply that to our significant relationships with God and with other people. Now, stick with me, and hopefully I'll explain this a little better. First of all, God is a relational God. What I mean by that, God is a God of relationships. He's called you and I to be in a relationship with Him, and He calls us to be in relationships with one another. Therefore, we can say that God creates, sustains, and forgives all relationships. Now, all of that began, as you might expect, at the very beginning, in creation. And the Genesis chapter 2 lesson that we read, it talks about how God created all of the universe, and He formed man out of the dust of the earth, and He placed the man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. And then God says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord formed every animal of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And in verse 20, "But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner." Well, we all love our pets, right? Pets are a big part of our families. They make great companions. They fill a certain need in our lives. We have, if you just want to say, a relationship with our pets. But they're not completely fulfilling relationships. As Genesis says again, "But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner." So the God of relationships, Genesis tells us, creates woman. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of the ribs and closed up the place with flesh. The rib that the Lord had taken from the man he made into woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "At last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, this one shall be called woman, for out of man she was taken." Now we find a relationship that takes on greater meaning and greater depth. But God isn't done yet. In the third chapter of Genesis, there is a verse that often goes unnoticed. It's verse 8. "They," Adam and Eve, "heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze." Now, did you catch that? God walked in the Garden of Eden. In the place that God had created for Adam and Eve, God walked and talked with them. And the power of that verse, it shows us that there is no separation from God at the very beginning of creation. No separation between God and human beings. And that's the ultimate intimate relationship that God creates us into. So in the very beginning, we discover that the God of relationships sets up for you and me the most important relationships we have with our animals, with one another, and then ultimately with God. Now, the Genesis text usually speaks more towards marriage, but Scripture does talk about our relationships with one another. Leviticus 19:18 says, "Stop being angry and don't take revenge. I am the Lord, and I command you to love others as much as you love yourself." Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 22:39. The second most important commandment is like this one. It is, "Love others as much as you love yourself." And Romans again, 12:10 says, "Love each other as brothers and sisters, and honor others more than you do yourself." That's what God intends for you and me. Well, what do we do with that? Well, all relationships can be and are destroyed when we are unfaithful. When we allow our commitments to one another be broken, be weakened by our life's turmoil, or simply the hardness of our heart. Now, Jesus deals with that in our gospel text. And it begins with this very uncomfortable passage about divorce and marriage. And to better understand his words here, we need to understand a bit of the context of those words. First of all, some Pharisees wanted to test Jesus. So they came up to him and asked if it was right for a man to divorce his wife. Jesus said to them, "What does the law of Moses say about that?" They answered, "Moses allowed a man to write out a divorce papers and send his wife away." Jesus said, "Moses gave you this law because you are so heartless." Now, those words of Jesus are really a radical voice of women for his day. See, the law of Moses that he was referring to, as is so often the case, was being abused by people, mostly men. Husbands believed that they had every right to divorce their wives for whatever reason they wanted. They burnt the toast. Here's your letter of divorce. Children are acting out and interrupting your sleep. Here's a letter of divorce. You're simply tired of your wife. Well, here's your letter of divorce. Under that law of Moses, a woman can be dismissed for whatever reason the husband wanted. Now, context. Remember that in Jesus' day, a woman's status was always determined by the men in her life. First her father, and then her husband. If she was single and had no other family, it meant she had no means of support, no way to provide for her children. She was a nobody in society. So those words of Jesus are radical proclamation to support women, especially women who were treated unfairly by their husbands. That's just one example of what we do with what God intends or how we handle our relationships. Let me share with you another example. A true story about John and Jane, not their real names. They were married and they started attending the church that I was serving. Now, both of them had been divorced. Now, Jane, in her previous marriage, she was happily married. She was raising her two young children, and she was very active in her church, and everything seemed good. Until one day, her husband told her that he no longer wanted to be married. More to the point, he no longer wanted to be married to her. So against her wishes, against everything that she wanted, he divorced her. Well, when she married John and started attending this church, after several weeks, I noticed she didn't come forward to receive communion. So I sat down with her to talk and to invite her to receive the sacrament. Well, she told me that in her previous church, she was told that she couldn't receive communion. That she was banned from receiving communion. Ben, you ready for this? Because she was divorced. A divorce she didn't want, yet the church barred her for communion. After listening to her for a while, I said, "You know, sometimes we need to make a distinction between what God says to us and what people say to us that God says to us. Because sometimes it's not the same thing." See how we can take the relationship that God intends and twist it around? Finally, what does God do with what we do with what God intends? Well, if we fail in our relationships, how do we follow those? Can we do it perfectly? You know, in the Old Testament promise or covenant between God and Israel was pretty simple. It said, "I will be your God, and you shall be my people." Now, first, notice it's a relationship that God calls them into. Second, notice it involves action by both parties. God will be their God. He will love them, guide them, discipline them, bless them, and be with them for all eternity. And the people of Israel promised God that they were to worship Him, to serve God, to follow Him, and be directed as God wanted. It's a simple, straightforward relationship. Well, the only problem, as you might guess, is that the people violated that promise time and time again. They rebelled. They worshiped false gods. They were selfish. They were hurtful to others. In fact, the whole story throughout the Old Testament is about God's faithfulness to the promise and Israel's unfaithfulness to it. But the same thing can be said to you and I, how we fail in our relationships with God and others. And while we do that, God remains faithful. Well, who keeps those promises? Well, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, Jesus came into this world because we have fallen short with what God intends for us. He came up, we come up short to God's standard, to what God intends for us. See, we fail, but Jesus remains faithful. Faithful all the way to the cross, suffering and dying for us. And when He's raised again from the dead, Jesus establishes a new relationship with us. Colossians 3:13 lays out that new relationship. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have with one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. God intends us to be in relationship with Him and one another. We fail in that and we break those intents of God. But what God does is send His Son Jesus to suffer, to die, and to be raised again for us, drawing us into that new relationship in Jesus' name. Amen.